All right, we are recording. Finally, we're back. Brent, Nick, good to see ya. 8 months hiatus, MIA.
It's been a minute.
Episode 5 of the Bass Heads podcast. We finally found some time. What have you guys been up to? Staying warm? Ice fishing?
Nothing to do. Hibernating. I wish we could.
Yeah, not ice fishing, which, you know, I sell ice fishing gear, so that's less than ideal for me. I'd rather there'd be ice. Not that I go ice fishing 10, 12, 15 times a year, but I would prefer that there was some ice out there. But it looks like it's coming. I mean, we're at single digits below zero in the next week to 10 days, so we'll be able to salvage some ice season at least. So,
right.
Again, I'll make it out once or twice, and that's about it. What I've been doing is working. I had I showed one of you guys my calendar in December, but I had like 3 days off in December and 4 days off in November. So it gets brutal, but it's all in the clear now. So we're good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to,
I was going to say those that bought ice houses this year are pretty pissed, but yeah, mine's sitting on the side of my house. Hopefully get a few trips here this season before they have to be off. But yeah, we got, I think half our lake as of today is frozen, probably just like a inch or two on top, but we'll be walking out there soon.
Right. I'm not too disappointed, man. Our fall was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to have a winter like this every year, I'm going to be a happy man.
Well, yeah. You keep your boat in the garage. Brent and I don't. We put ours away a month and a half too early.
Right.
Oh, I can go get mine. Mine could be at my home in a half hour. Don't kid yourself. It'll be ready to go. Yeah. But
you didn't inform me of that.
Right. But yeah, it's been a minute. You know, I think we were just talking, the last podcast we recorded was end of May or something like that. And then all of a sudden, boom, fishing season was here. And, you know, it's hard to find time. Any free time I had, I wanted to be on the water. The last thing I was thinking about was a podcast. And I kind of think it's a good time of year to do podcasts during the winter. We're all itching to get back out there again. We have nothing else to do. So, I mean, what better way to burn a few months in Minnesota than to talk about fishing, some podcasts.
Right. And you'll be wetting the line here soon.
I will. I take off. It was 2 weeks from this past Saturday. I head out to Bacharach for down in Mexico for 5 full days of fishing with 9 other guys. So it's gonna, and the lake is absolutely on fire right now. No like giants. There's been a few double digits, but you know, boats right now are averaging over 100 fish a day with, you know, half of them being over 5 pounds. You know, big fish are coming in at 8, 9 pounds, bunches of 6s, bunches of 7s. And from what I've heard today from my guy, most of it's coming on DT-10s and topwater.
Oh, you hate that.
I hate it. Right in my wheelhouse. So
that's pretty easy pattern. First hour of the day, topwater, DT-10 till the evening.
Yeah, I don't know if my wrist can handle 5 full days of DT-10 fishing. You might be numb by the end of it.
You're going to bring a
just
train.
A week in June for you. What are you talking about?
Saltwater handle.
Right, there you go. No, but it should be a good time. We got a good group of guys going down. Hopefully everything travel wise works out. You know, my brother went down last year with a buddy, and due to weather he missed his flight got canceled the first day, so he missed out on a full day of fishing. So hopefully that doesn't happen, but you know, it's definitely something that's going to break up the winter, which is super nice. Talking about ice fishing, I'm going to come back from that, and there's no way I'm going to want to get out on the ice and go fishing. That's going to be the last thing I think of. I'm just going to hope for an early spring, early ice out, and I can have the boat wet by beginning to mid-March or something.
Yeah, you'll jump in the ice house and crack a few bush lights. Come on, don't act like you won't.
I mean, I will if I'm convinced.
If it's easy.
Right. If it's easy, that's the whole thing about ice fishing. It's a lot of work.
It can be. Yeah, it can be. Like we went last year, Tony, and it was like, oh, let's just pull up here and sit down and have some drinks and fish and cook a pizza. And You caught what, one fish maybe, but one whatever.
Right.
That yeah. is the other than, you know, the guys like Hayden, right? Who I don't know. I'm guessing he's still fishing, right?
Could be. No, as of I saw a post. I think it was, I don't know when they were actually fishing, but he posted, was it today or yesterday? Yeah. And he was still out there. So
yeah,
he's still going.
But it's we're gonna have foot of ice, 16 inches of ice to get rid of rather than 3 feet of ice. So yeah, so the right. lakes in theory, as long as weather stays cooperative, the lakes will be open earlier. My kind of fear is we have very little snowfall. I know in the cities we got, you know, 1.5 inches, a couple inches today, maybe, but and we're supposed to get some in the future, but man, that's, you know, we've had some dry summers in the past few summers. So if we don't get that runoff, you know, I'm fearful for some of those lakes. It doesn't look great for that. No, so hopefully that turns around in March. And March is, you know, February, March is snowiest month. So I'm fine if we have, you know, in March, I'm fine with a couple feet of snow in March just to get everybody, the lakes healthy.
Yeah. Cause those lakes are struggling towards the end of the year. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. We had some decent rain in December though, but definitely not enough. So hopefully we get dumped on a little bit. Some of those lakes fill up a bit, but speaking of dry summers last year, how'd the 2023 season go for you guys?
Yeah, we had a good season. Brent and I teamed up for, we've been doing a Tuesday night series for, probably 3 years now.
Yeah.
So we did that, and then we did the Greenhorn Tour here in the northern suburbs. So that went pretty well. We had one bomb. And the rest of the season.
The worst lake in the state.
What was that?
On the worst lake in the state.
Minnetonka.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you all can figure it out. But no, it was good. We made it into the championship and fished our butts off. Didn't cull in that tournament the second half of the day, and all we needed was 1/100th of an ounce. And we would have taken home the championship for the Great Tour.
Ouch.
So that one hurt, but
close one.
Rest
of the I don't think we called good. After 10.
What was that?
I don't think we called after 10.
Yeah, it's 10 or 11, something like that. And it was, you're looking back, obviously. I had one blow up on a frog at the end, but you know how frog fishing is. It was in some deep slop and didn't really get any hooks in it. So unknown on that, but I'm sure it would have. I mean, we had a squeaker in there, so it would have probably done it. But that's water weight, so that one hurt. But it was a fun season for sure. The first year doing that, and pretty happy with the results on that. So looking forward to next year.
Yeah, no, yep. I think fishing was good this summer. I don't think I had any days where I absolutely cracked them. You know, we had some good days in Mille Lacs in the spring, and then Nick and I had a really good day in the fall on the river, but. I think overall it was a good summer. I didn't have any days where I just lit them up. I mean, I had a few really good days, obviously, but it was. I think the weed growth was really weird this year. I don't like. I love the flip. That's kind of one of my favorite things to do. And I don't know if I caught more than a handful of fish flipping this year. And I think that had to do with the weed growth, right? So that those canopies weren't there, and that deep weed edge wasn't great and stuff like that. So I just, those fish were a little wonky that way. Whether you call that fishing pressure, whether you call it weed growth or whatever, you know, obviously the whole forward facing sonar world is pushing those fish, you know, every which way, but you know, that shallow bite, I think that flipping bite could become a thing again, you know, so it'll be interesting. But yeah, I didn't have a great, what I like to do fishing. But I mean, it's, for me, it was, and partially because forward facing sonar made me keep a drop shot in my hand probably 70% of the time I was fishing. So
sure,
it you know, I'll adapt, right? I'll figure out a way to catch those fish, and I think more than anything, just, you know, maybe I won't use a drop shot, but I'll find different ways to catch those fish you can see. But you know, there's you're talking a lot of the dealers and stuff like that, a lot of those, I mean, crankbait sales are terrible, right? Nobody wants to use a crankbait. It's forward facing sonar. I can see a fish and it doesn't matter. So a lot of those, you know, strolling and stuff like that, hover rigs and all that stuff is kind of starting to take over. So I'll have to adapt to a lot of that stuff. So
Yeah, for sure. I would say my year started amazing. I think you guys know that. it was a good big fish start to the year for me. You know, catching my PB largemouth at 8.33 pounds up north is just, I still can't believe it happened. That's such a big fish up north. I cannot wait to get that replica back. It's going to be pretty hard. What was that?
You still don't have it?
No, they said it would take, you know, 12 to 18 months.
Really?
It's a local guide and the guy's just packed with work, you know? So, you know, he's one of the best in the state. His name's Eric Frank. So, I don't mind whatever, how long it ever takes. It doesn't bother me.
Cause I know it right. Yeah.
Yeah. I know it's going to turn out awesome. You know, and
do you have a spot picked up?
I don't yet. Probably somewhere back here.
It's not going in the basement. It's going right above the fireplace, and you know it.
I wish it would. I'll figure a place out. Put
it up there and say, nope, it's staying here. We don't have a choice.
Yeah. So that was a great, you know, and that same trip, I got one right under 7 pounds. Couple fives. You know, it was just an awesome start to the year. And then opener came around, and the week after opener, I took another trip up to Mille Lacs to go hammer them again and ended up breaking my PB smallmouth, you know, at 6 pounds, 6 ounces. So breaking your PBs, both your PBs in the spring, you're just, you know, where do you go from there?
Golf.
And golf.
Correct.
Right. No. And then the rest of the season was good. Big fish wise, like, 5-6 pounders just for some reason didn't show up for me this year, but that the number of quality fish, the 3s to 4¾ was insane this year for me. And I was telling you guys before this that for some reason I feel like those fish schooled up a lot earlier for summertime patterns than they have in the past. At least for the lakes that I fished, it seemed like they started schooling up in mid-June. You know, it got hot real quick, and all of a sudden it's mid-June and I'm already getting into schools on a crankbait, which was awesome. And it kind of continued the rest of the year. You know, crankbait and chatterbait did like most of my damage this year. Football jig was usually my deal too, like mid-summer the past few years, and I could not get that bite going this year for some reason. Not sure what the deal was, but I have no problem holding a chatterbait and crankbait in my hand at all times.
I feel like this is a year where you had to be as open-minded as I mean as far back as I can remember. My go-to baits didn't seem to work, like Brent was mentioning flipping. I can't remember a time where I mean, under probably a dozen fish all year on flipping. So I felt like this is the year where I had the most rods on my deck, but it helped gain confidence in some baits that I usually wouldn't throw. So that, you know, it's definitely helpful in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an interesting year. A lot of fish were caught. That's for sure. And just different ways than what you normally expect, I feel like. And then the fall, you know, what a weird fall. You know, some of that cooler weather started, you know, the end of September, October for like a week. And then all of a sudden, warm weather lasted until December. Like I've never had that happen. I just kept thinking to myself, you know, this is the last time I'm going to be out. Then I'd be out, you know, I went another 5 times after that.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was the worst mistake. I put my boat away. I was still the last to put my boat away in the storage unit, and she kept pressuring me, like, okay, when are you coming? When are you going to bring it in? So I finally did, and I think I got out 2 more times after that. I begged Brent to borrow his boat and went out with another buddy, but I could have had it, you know, up until last week. Like,
right.
Yeah. Sanity.
Right.
If I didn't get busy in November, I would have kept
it. The guys in the state that got a longer bonus season.
You asked Chase Hall how his bonus season went this year.
I can't imagine.
he had a good bonus season, that's for sure. Breaking his PB four times in the span of a week and a half.
What was the biggest?
I think it was 7.4.
All on the
season. You know. Yeah. No, and it was funny because he had never caught one over 7 pounds. And then all of a sudden he ended up catching four. It was awesome.
Crazy.
This guy works hard, you know, guy puts the time in, that's for sure.
Sure.
Just a jig master too.
Yeah. Awesome.
But yeah, you know, I'm gonna bring it up now, but for everybody watching, we have a pretty awesome guest tonight.
Is that what brought us back? That's probably what brought us back, right?
It might have been what brought us back. And thanks to Brent, who has contact with him, reached out, was able to get him on the show. Pretty awesome. You know, I've been following this guy for a long time. You know, he's a guy from the north. So it's fun to watch those guys in the professional scene, you know, do work, win tournaments, and just succeed, you know, all over the country. You know, it's just being a fan of bass fishing, it's just awesome to watch. So
yeah,
pretty fortunate that he was able to jump on this podcast, and we're going to bring him in now. We have Bassmaster Classic champion Jeff Gustafson joining us tonight. So I'm going to bring him in now. Gussie, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no, I go a long ways back with Brent, like probably pushing 15 years, and
yeah,
I haven't seen you in a while, but you look good and look the same, and hey man, no, yeah, Brent reached out, so easy.
Yeah, well, thank you again. You know, we just started this podcast. This is like the fifth episode, and you know, it's mostly revolved around just Minnesota fishing in general. You know, there's not a lot of resources out there, you know, that focus mostly on you know, the Midwest fishing. So, you know, I developed the Bassheads Facebook group, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, trying to bring everybody together as a community, you know, help each other out, learn new techniques. And it's been super successful, a lot of information. And you being a northern guy, you know, you deal with a lot of the, you know, same structure, lakes and stuff like that that we do. So thought it'd just be awesome to have you on.
And you want a nice derb.
Yeah, he might have won a nice derb, which is coming up shortly again. So
yeah, it is. It's coming up quick. I'm out in my garage here. It's sort of my fishing shop, and my new boat's outside. I have it, but I haven't really got to work on it yet. This is the old one. It's going away. The guy bought it. He's coming to grab it here in the next few days. But yeah, just kind of, you know, working on getting my gear organized, and I'm here till like the end of January, and then get down south and get a little warm up in before we get rolling. But you know, a lot of work to do between now and then. It's like every year, you know, oh, okay, I have so much time to get my shit together, and I'll be like right to the night before, I'll be up all night trying to pack the last of my tackle or whatever I want to bring.
How chaotic is that? Because there's not a lot of time in between the season ending. You got to get a new boat. You got to get it all rigged up, new electronics, new wrap, new sponsors, if there are any.
There's always a little bit of change every year. And then, like, yeah, the boat, like, it's awesome. You know, I get a new Lund every year, and it's a kind of a year to year thing, but it's been working out. It's a project to kind of get the boat rigged up and everything. And, you know, but cause it, you know how you like, you'll have on one boat, some sonar works just perfect, like the best ever. And you don't want to like there's a little bit of luck in getting your sonar to be just dialed, you know? So it's always like, there's always some stuff to work out and everything. But I had my boat rigged last year in Tennessee at this place called Hennessy Outdoors. It's right at Lake Chickamauga. And you see like a lot of the guys, making posts about that they had their boat rig there. And that's how I kind of ended up there. And they did all my electronics last year. And like, I never had an issue the whole season. It was like the greatest treat to myself ever. Cause I do a lot of it myself, and I have, and I'm not very like mechanically inclined, but I have a couple buddies that are, that help me out too. And we'd always, you know, get after it for a weekend and kind of get it rigged up. But, but yeah, it was nice having those guys really do it professionally.
Yeah, I was gonna
say. So you bring, will you that's stop fun for on the novices way down?
Like us, but when it comes to your career, you want them to take care of that.
Yeah, sure. Like, and especially the way it is now, like you don't want to have a bad day, you know. So everything you can do, but yeah, Brent, I'm gonna go down to Tennessee. So we start the season in Texas. Gonna go a little bit out of the way, but. You know, it'll be worth it. And Carl Jacobson, one of my good buddies out on the Elite Series, he lives pretty close to there. So I'll be able to stay with him and visit with him for a few days and probably get a catch a fish or two. And just, you know, by the end of January, we're all probably, it's been a pretty easy winter so far, but you know, by the end of January, it's like, let's
get it done. Crap. I bet. How's the past year gone? I mean, being a classic champion, that's like what people dream of. That's what you as a competitive angler, I mean, that's what dreams are made of right there.
Yeah. I mean, I still like, and I've said this a few times in the last while, but like I'll have a couple times still every week where I'm like, I can't believe that actually happened, you know? And yeah, it's been crazy. David Fritz was on a Mercer's podcast maybe a month ago or so, and he retired from the Elite Series this year. But his advice to everyone was, I recommend that you win the Classic. And that was very well.
Well, yeah,
I liked it, how, you know, it really is kind of life changing. And yeah, it's been pretty awesome for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard enough to
really in your career. So you can go for many more.
Well, hey, I'm starting to feel old. That like I'm, you know, I'm 41, but like I'm way above the average age now. It's unbelievable. Just in the, you know, I've been doing it for a little over 10 years, and like how much it's changed, just like the age of the field, you know, and
kind of a veteran now.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
It is crazy. But yeah, these young guys come in, and it's been pretty impressive the last couple of years, like how good a lot of them do.
Yeah.
Do you think a lot of that is because of the high school program, or do you think a lot of it is elephant in the room, forward facing sonar based, right? A lot of those guys just getting that ahead of that curve faster.
I think that's that, you know, cause you look at like most of the guys that are, you know, really standing out, they're very good at it. And like, that's part of it for sure. But I think just the like high school and college, these guys can just get experience at all these different water bodies, like at a much younger age. And that's, and you know, just time on the water. Like that's the recipe, you know?
Well, time on the water. And I feel like information at your fingertips. You know, we had to wait till Bassmaster magazine and episodes came out to learn how to do certain techniques. And now you can YouTube anything you want, go back and watch your tournaments, watch how you succeed and everybody else doing the same thing. It's a different age.
Yeah. Like there's no, you can't really keep any secrets anymore. Especially like if you win, I mean, it's, that's sort of the downfall of it. And I'm like, I'm super lucky, like with Knoxville, if we ever go back there again, I mean,
he's going to find something different.
Going to go for a third time in that same area.
I'll be the favorite. I'll get a bunch of hype, you know, or exposure leading up to it. But like, I know how good all these guys are, and like, they will expose, what I was doing a lot more than they did. And, but a lot, you know, lucky, luckily I got the win out of that system. And,
right.
You know, I felt like I went to the Classic there and hung out at the expo in 2019 when Octafo won. And when we went back there in 2021, I mean, I found those fish at the end of the practice, had this amazing tournament. And I was mad, you know. The only thing I said after was like, or even on the fourth day of the tournament, you know, when things were going good, it was like, man, I know the Classic's going to come back here because it was so good. The crowds were huge. And you know, now like I've given up this little sweet spot. And sure enough, we went back there and it just, yeah, crazy the way it worked out.
Right. I mean,
look, on the bright side. Next time you'll have the largemouth to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, go find other juice, and then the last day of practice, go back in your area to throw them off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it still just baffles me because it's hard enough to win a blue trophy, but then to win a classic too. You know, like there's so many anglers that have been doing it for so long, haven't even got that blue trophy yet, and they're legends. I mean,
yeah,
that is a tough feat to do, and to be able to get one of those and get a classic, that, I mean, that's pretty special.
Yeah, no, I'm lucky. I feel lucky every day for sure that I get to do what I'm doing. I mean, I, you know, fully regular guy and just love to fish bass tournaments. I mean, and got going at that pretty young and you know, just caught a lot of breaks along the way that people have been able to help me out and you know, just but fish a lot. Like I get asked all the time, like how, you know, what's your best advice to like be a professional fisherman or whatever. And like, whether you want to be a guide or a tournament angler, I mean, it's like fish, spend as much time as you can out there. And like, don't just go to the places where you know you can catch them. Like I never fish places where I know I can catch fish. Like when I'm around home, unless it's like a tournament day or something, like I love that like adventure of finding a new spot or a new way to catch fish or just learning. Right.
For sure. That kind of brings me into the question, like, you know, we're from Minnesota, which is technically walleye country, but you're from Canada, which is really walleye country. Like, how did you get into it? I mean, how did you get into bass fishing?
For me, I mean, we actually have like some really good tournaments up here in the summer and Brent's come up and fished some of them, but like, in my hometown, this tournament called the Kenora Bass International started in 1988. And the guy that started it wanted to have a walleye tournament. Like Lake of the Woods is, you know, one of the best walleye lakes in the world. And at that time, I think the lake was getting fished really hard. There was still some commercial fishing happening and the walleyes weren't doing awesome. And the local, you know, Gord Pizer was kind of the head of our DNR at that time. And he, you know, just recommended the bass fishing's really good out here. You should try a bass tournament. And they did. And within a few years, they had like 200 teams fishing the tournament and all through the 90s. And it's still going strong today, like over 35 years later. But when I was 10 years old, my Christmas present, and I've told this story before, but, my dad and I got an entry in the tournament and he took me fishing like at a young age and I caught the bug for it. I liked fishing, but he didn't really bass fish and we had to just sort of learn as we go. And like our goal the first year was to catch a fish so we could walk across the state pretty much. And, you know, it took a few years before we started to get competitive, but for me, it was just, you know, started young and, that's sort of been my life ever since. You know, I do spend a lot of time on the water and I like, you know, obviously like bass fishing the best, but, you know, I love to catch whatever's biting and I've done a lot of guiding over the years and fishing all seasons, ice fishing. And, you know, so if they want to bite, then I'm usually, into catching them.
So Gussie, you, caught two fish day three.
Yeah.
Let's hypothetically say there was a day four.
I was in big trouble if I had to go another day. Yeah. You know, I don't know because like, I feel like there was still quite a few fish around, but it was changing fast. Like it was warming up real fast. Luckily like at the start of the week, it was like below freezing a couple nights. So it sort of stayed cold and I think that helped me. But, you know, also I had two really good spots and I, you know, the first day I tried to fish in the canal first, like maybe I can get lucky and catch them in here today and then not have to, cause I knew once I fished the other two spots, like once I fished them, they were, you never know. Right. Like Most of these guys that are out there watching and following aren't fishing. But there's a few that like can't help themselves. And, you know, so like, once you fish them, they're giving up. So luckily the first day I dipped around that canal and I didn't catch a keeper after about an hour and a half. So I didn't want to, you know, play or mess around too much. Went to one of my good spots, caught five. Okay. There's day one. The day two, okay, now can I catch five off my first day spot? And I caught two keepers there, a few short ones. And then, you know, mid-morning, it's like, I don't really want to mess around too much. I better go catch my other three, make sure I get my five. And then I'm going to have a good chance. So I exposed the second spot. And then, I don't know, I feel like they probably got fished a little bit on after I got done on day two, because they went from being like really easy to catch to like I can hardly get a bite anymore, you know?
Sure.
On the last day, when I showed up at the second spot, you know, and I fished the first place for an hour or so, a guy was actually sitting there and just kind of like zoomed off towards the bank and started fishing. No way. But that's just part of it for everybody, you know, and it is what it is, but
that's great.
But it was a stressful day. I, you know, obviously as everyone could tell, and I, you know, there's always like somebody's a hero on the last day of the classic, and I somebody caught him today and it's their lucky day because I it worked out.
Awesome. Yeah, and as far as the moping technique, I mean, a lot of people are using that technique. It's gotten really popular, but I would say you're kind of the innovator of it, or at least, you know, when I think of a technique paired with an angler, you're the one I think of. Is your success with that technique, would you say it's more just your confidence in doing it, or is there something you're doing maybe behind the scenes that we don't need to know about, but that is making it more successful for you? So is it more of a, I guess the question is it a confidence deal, or is there something maybe sneaky that you're doing with that?
I mean, no, not really. It's for sure a confidence deal. And I've been lucky to like expose it on a national level, but there's guys that live around here where I'm from that are really, really good at it and, you know, are hard to beat in a tournament. It's just a technique that's kind of, it's been popular in up around Rainy Lake and Lake of the Woods for probably pushing 20 years. And just, you know, we all learned to do it. Like we learned to do it when we were young, and just over the years, I've literally caught thousands of fish on that bait. And a Smeltnator jig head. I mean, that's what we've used for a long time, almost 10 years. And then, you know, the last 5 or 6 years, we used to use a lot of different soft baits on the back. I mean, Zoom Flukes, the Berkeley Power Minnows were one of our favorites back in the day. But the last 5 or 6 years, I mean, pretty much everyone uses the Z-Man jerk shads. And, you know, the Strike King ones are the same things. But just that buoyancy of the plastic helps the bait look natural. It's legit. And then, you know, obviously they're durable. Like when we're fishing up here, you catch a lot of fish. So like if you're using regular plastic, I mean, you're going through a ton of baits. The Z-Man stuff, I mean, you can glue it on and literally like a pike bite them off all the time. But like you can catch a lot of fish on one bait. And it seems like after you catch a few, they even get softer and like, just looking, you know, any plastic, like it's, I fish on a tube with like three tentacles left on it than like a fresh one, you know?
Yeah. The power of confidence, though, it's crazy. I mean, I've tried the moping here in Minnesota and especially up on Mille Lacs. I equate it to when I try and throw like my giant Huddlestons, you know, five casts, I just can't do it anymore. I put it down and move on. And, you know, it's just, but I have my confidence baits that, you know, you'd feel the same way. But that's definitely one of them where I bet a lot of anglers around here have tried it and put it down pretty quick.
I mean, the number one rule, and I mean, the thing everyone needs to know is like, you always keep your bait above the fish. I mean, that's the most important thing. It's very tempting to like, want to just drop your bait right in their face, like right in front of them. And usually that's not the best you know, make them come up and work for it a little bit. And, but yeah, there's days when they, you know, do this up and down or not, you know, bump it and just don't, they don't, there's lots of days they just don't care about it. But, yeah. But there's a lot of days where it's hard to beat.
Yeah. It's just gotta be a cool feeling to, you know, have a technique that you're confident in. That's kind of a northern thing and be able to bring it down south, you know, and win a tournament on it.
That was one of those techniques where like, I, you know, I had it for like 10 years, like, okay, hey, someday I'm going to get an event where I can do this. One of the last years I fished FLW tour, we had a tournament at Lake Travis in Texas, and I had one real good day, and it was pretty tough fishing there. I want to say I finished between 10 and 20 somewhere. Like, I had a good tournament, but I think the last day I maybe only had day three, only had a couple fish, but I caught them there doing it on the jerk shad and a jig head, catching them under the boat. And the largemouths would actually suspend on the dock lines, and you could just get on top of them and just hang that minnow down along the wires. I actually never lost any. It was crazy fishing around those wires, but it was one of those techniques where like, I definitely, I knew I'd get a shot at some point, and luckily made the most of it. Cause we go out to Lake Champlain this summer and I got my butt whipped, and then you watch the stuff back, get home, and everyone's catching them on like my bait, and because I kind of had a bad event there, but yeah, these guys figure everything out pretty quick. The marabou jig was the same thing. I mean, just like, okay, someday, and then we go to the St. Lawrence River, and it was in late August, so like, you go there and there's so many fish out deep, you get doing that. Well, Chris Johnson he finishes second, and like, I watched that back after, and I'm like, he's catching them all on a hair jig. Like, oh no, it's that one. Even do it. Right. And now that's, you know, mandatory equipment just about everywhere we go in those summer tournaments. Guys are catching them on it. So,
yeah. What? So 2024. So give me two tournaments. The one you're looking forward to the most, and not that you're not looking forward to any tournament, but the one you're like, I'm not so sure.
I love those smallmouth. Those New York lakes are so fun. I mean, they're similar to the fishing we have in Minnesota and Ontario. Very similar, and even better for how much pressure those places get. I mean, they're Lake Champlain and the Ontario are awesome. I'm excited for Lake Fork in February. Fished there a number of times, never in the winter. It's always been sort of spawn, post spawn. So yeah, there's gonna be like mega bags there, I'm sure.
Oh, that forward facing's gonna come into play there for sure.
It should work pretty good at Toledo Bend and Fork here in February. So yeah, I'm excited for it's like, yeah, I hate that question kind of because you always have a few that like you're looking, you see their places where you've done well in the past or smallmouth places for me, and those are, you know, yeah, sign me up. But like
right.
A lot of your best tournaments happen when you're not expecting it, or in very rarely do you get to go to any of these places and like it you get to fish like how you expect to, you know?
So preconceived notions, right?
Yeah, you kind of just got to show up. Like, I don't do a ton of research before we go. Like, I got a little TV here in my shop, so I can put YouTube stuff on, you know, when I'm working out here, and I watch a lot of the old Bass Live shows and stuff. But like, I don't do a ton of research before we go. It's a lot of get there and launch the boat and we'll figure it out. Like, cause the weather, a lot of our tournaments are, you know, into the late winter, spring. So the weather is important. That's the most, you know, that can really change things up a lot. So you kind of gotta, and just all the guys that I've stayed with over the years, I feel like, you know, kind of everyone's on the same page there. I don't know how much, but I know some guys do a ton of pre-practice and a ton of research, and that can pay off as well. But for me, it's a lot of like, go fish the conditions and hopefully you find a good part of the lake, a good pattern. And it can be easy. If you don't, then you're in for a 5 minute
run over
of please let me get a bite. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you had mentioned the marabou jig. So I actually have one of the old Northland marabou jigs. Yep. But I saw that they just released a new version that you've been talking about on Instagram. I've seen you mention it a few times. But can you talk a little bit about that and how it compares to maybe your traditional hand tied or even like the fight or fly?
Yeah,
you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. So basically, like this is the new Northland one. So they've got we got a whole lineup of like Elite Series jigs coming out that are built with Gamagatsu hooks. They're kind of like for tournament anglers. Good stuff. And then these marabou jigs, you get two to a pack. Open one up here, and you know they're just they're sort of. We told them how we wanted them to be tied, like no spines. So the lazy way to make these is to just tie the end of a feather on a bunch of them, and you can tie them quick and easy. But if you get those stiff spine pieces in there, they just don't swim as nice and look as good. So that was the first thing. The second thing is the hook, the gammy hook. And then also I like to have a little keeper on there. You can kind of see that. Yeah.
That's nice.
Little keeper. I like to put a little body on the jig, and that just kind of keeps it bulked up a little bit, so it doesn't sort of turn into a drowned rat in the water. And then also it allows you to cast these things a little bit farther too. So, you know, that was about it. Just good marabou. You know, when you blow on the back of them, you want it to be kind of just even all the way around. You don't want to have any patchy spots or holes. And you know, yeah, they're tied good. They're for tournament anglers. So I think they're as good of jig as anyone makes that you can buy for sure.
Right, man. Awesome. Gus, did you put plastic on yours? Are you putting a chunk of plastic on there too?
Yeah. And that's what that's why I want that little keeper on the shank to put a little plastic body on there. And
perfect.
I used a piece of Senko for a long time. The last few years I've been using a piece of like the Maxent Senkos. They're just, you know, I think they like that stuff, obviously. Yep. But they're like a legit hair jig for sure. And you know, yeah, I'm definitely like pumped that they're available. Cause like you can't believe how many of these Southern guys want, you know, are like, hey Gus, can I get a couple hair jigs off you? Can I get a couple, you know, and then you know, so I hate tying them. Like it takes me 10 to 15 minutes pretty much to make one. So like, it's,
I bought all the equipment. I got set up for the winter. I maybe tied three that sucked. And I was like, well, I'm just going to go back to buying them.
If you make your own, you got to get good marabou. It makes it so much easier and like better to tie them, but it's you got to get the good marabou. Like don't just buy the stuff from like Cabela's or something.
Well, guilty.
I did it for like 2 years and I'm like, well, this is a waste of time. Like I got $50, I can just go buy some damn.
And they do last. I mean, unless you get, you know, a pike or a
walleye. Well, like the pike bite them off like crazy up here, it sucks. But yeah, if you go to like Sturgeon Bay, you can use the same one for like 3 days,
a week.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What a fun bite, though. I just got into it like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
On Mille Lacs, and you get the right rod with it. Oh my God. I'm not sure there's a better bite out there than catching them on the fluff.
Yeah, no, for sure. I love like getting that little bow in your line and you see it jump. And
right.
It's just a little tick.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. I like, you guys have no idea like how many big bass I've caught on those things. Like in my friends, like it's unbelievable how good of a little.
What rod are you throwing that on? 902?
901? I like the 902. Yeah. The 901 or 902, but I like the 902 a little bit better, just a little bit more sensitive.
Sure.
And still light enough.
Yeah.
Gussie, on those Canadian tournaments, the KBI Fort and stuff like that, is that thing mandatory? Like, do you have that on year round up there?
Yeah, for like, we have a lot of tournaments in September and into October, and I don't really use it as much then. You still could for sure, but like those July and the KBIs in August, yeah, absolutely. Like if they're in shallow water at all, like what happens for us up here, and I'm sure you get this a bit in Minnesota too, but when we get those hot, nice sunny days in the summer, like the hotter the better, a lot of the big fish like get right up shallow, and it happens at Lake Ontario. But and yeah, they get next to boulders or clumps of weeds or a log or whatever. And I mean, you can just there's no better bait to like just swim around that stuff than that little hair jig.
I think so many people think that's a May, first half of June bait. And, you know, and because primarily up here because of Mille Lacs, I think too, but there's you can catch them a lot of times a year.
Well, the other thing that guys do with it a lot up here that's maybe a little different is we don't have zebra mussels. Like our water's clear, but not like zebra mussel clear. But if you're in a team tournament, the guy in the back of the boat, like a lot of like my buddies that do well, the partner will just stand on the back with that thing like 8 feet down, 8 feet of line out, and you don't move your rod. You just hold it still back there. And like, it's unbelievable how many bass you'll catch. You just sit back there with it. It's a boring, like that's not exciting at all, but like lethal.
Right. Well, a lot of those fish are following too, right? They'll follow your buddy's jerk bait in or something like that. They'll sit on the boat and then they'll drift off. And like, what's that?
Yep. And I think they like to come and check out the boat a lot of times too. Like unless they really get pounded on, like if they're not, you know, super pressured fish, they almost love to, they're real inquisitive. They'll come and check the boat out and do some funny stuff. So
sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome. Nick,
what are you doing for work now?
What's that?
What are you doing for work now?
Oh, I still, so sales rep, right? So I'd still rep all Shimano, Lumis,
okay.
A bunch of those brands.
Fishing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know him through Kruger?
So I was going to sort of start off with that, but I never would have got to get down south and fish without KrugerFarms.com. And Don Nelson helped me out big time to sort of start me out. And Brent worked there for a while and kept it running for a while after Don passed away. But it was too bad that the way everything happened. Cause he was like probably the most like make shit happen guy that I've ever met. And
for good, bad or otherwise, right?
Yeah.
Take chances.
Yeah. Quite a guy. And, I owe those guys a lot.
Yeah.
I got one more question for you. So I see that battle scars. I saw on Instagram you took one to the nose.
Yeah.
From the classic trophy. I see that sealed up, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It wasn't bad. It was just one of those like, you know, you get cut up here, you bleed real easy, and like the pitcher wasn't that good, but like it was just steady I kept going like this with my jersey. So my wife got this jersey framed for me It's got all the blood on the sleeve, and
that's perfect. That's like, what would you equate that to? What was that? The Red Sox pitcher that pitched the World Series.
Kurt Schilling.
Gussie, you won the Classic in a bloody jersey. Well, you could just tell the story later that it was during some battle scars.
Nobody needs to know.
No one needs to know details.
Yeah, I fought Austin Felix in the canal in the morning.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had any blood on me though.
It's more like one of the Johnson brother hockey players. That looks like a hockey.
They'll fight you.
Yeah.
Totally. I don't think Austin would put up a fight. The Johnsons would put up a fight.
Yeah.
That should probably be our last question. Your roomies. You're still rooming with them, right?
No, I'm not. So Fighter does, my wife Shelby, it's been awesome. She's able to travel and go roll with me. So the last couple of years, we actually have stayed with Jason Christie and his wife Shanna. So it's been awesome, been good. I'm all good with all the boys, but Seth and Matt Robertson and the Johnsons.
Okay,
that's a crew.
I was gonna ask for the best story that you can. That's appropriate that you can.
No such thing.
No, I mean, like, there's been some shit shows for sure, but like, I don't know. The funniest night ever probably was in 2019, or the first year that we all fished the Elite Series, and we were at Cayuga Lake, and I had a good tournament there. I almost won. I got second, and Corey made the top 10, I think, as well. So I think it was like heading into the final. Maybe it was heading into day three because, Chris and Corey had one can of oil left, and it was in Chris's truck, I think. And for some reason, I don't know whose fault it was. We'll never know. But, you know, their stuff's just a big piled mess all the time. They sort of share everything. And Seth, for like the last couple tournaments of the year, had hired this kid to be a cameraman. And he's going to like a lot of the guys do, like the TV, the YouTube shows with like in the house and a little bit of fishing. But like this was no... I don't even think he was going out on the water with Seth at all. Like he didn't want him for that. It was just all the dong show going on around the house and everything. And he ended up, so he had this guy filming all this stuff. So we got video of it and I watched, he did a show, made like one episode with it. And it ended up having to get taken down because it was
LFT boys.
It's so good.
Yeah. But anyway, Chris and Corey ended up like fighting over this jug of oil and like a flipping stick came out and like Corey hit Chris with a flipping stick. And then it was like probably my most memorable, like those two having a battle. All over a jug of oil.
That is awesome.
So those four guys seem pretty like they obviously like to have some beers or whatever. Like if one guy is like, let's say Seth a couple years ago, right? He's in AOI. He's got to be more focused than normal, right? Do they lay off him or do they ride him pretty hard the whole time?
No, they, you know what? Those guys don't party that much. Like the perception's more, I mean, honestly, when we're at these events, the week of the tournament, it's pretty much everybody's all business. I mean, there's too much on the line now with there's a lot of money on the line. I mean, it's not, everyone's getting so good. Like if you give them one inch, like these guys are going to beat you. And so it's, you know, after Friday night or Saturday night, after things wrap up, like, you know, everyone, that's what's fun with that was the fun part of staying with all those guys is they do all like to have fun and have a good time. They're always in a good mood. And, you know, but honestly, like during the events, it's pretty, everyone's pretty tame and pretty business.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So speaking that you room with Christy now, that had to have been one of the coolest classic championships I've ever seen is him coming back and winning one finally.
Yeah, for sure.
The coolest I think I witnessed.
Yeah. No, he's a killer, man. It's funny, and I've said this before too, but like I've got to fish with some of these guys and it's not like secret lures and a lot of that stuff like people think. It's just be smart on the water, make good casts, be quiet in the boat. I mean, sneak up to your, just so many like simple things, do those right. And that's how you catch fish. Right.
Sure.
That's probably like the best compliment I could give Jason is just like, he's just really, really, really good at everything. And, it's impressive to watch. Like he'll have a bad day and then have like a giant 22, you know, come back. Right. The next day. He's not afraid to like, just go and do something completely different or go somewhere he's never been and just go fish. And, that's what's probably been the most impressive thing about him.
Pretty rare to have your roommate hand you the trophy too. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Again, like just so many things I can't believe. And then we're going to Grand Lake this year, so like he's obviously going
to
be the
favorite. You might give it right back to him.
Right back to him. Yeah. That would be pretty cool too.
For sure. Well, we can let you go, Gussie. Thank you so much for joining. Been a pleasure talking to you. Congrats again on the classic title. It's just awesome, man.
Yeah, no, thanks guys. And I mean, I know Seth and I have talked about it, but like, and the Johnsons too, but like whenever any of us do good in one of the tournaments, it's awesome. Like how much support we get from everyone up north. And I know even for me, a lot of it comes from Minnesota too. So it's, we appreciate it. And where are these going to get up on? Like, I'm pretty basic. I listen to
So I have a YouTube channel and then I have it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I'll send you a link.
Okay. Beauty.
So
I look forward to listening to more of them and
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Good luck in 2024.
Hey, I got one more thing. Who are you got? You guys got to get a couple like Minnesota legends on. Like,
if you don't want,
we could start with the Kruger Farms list and go Raveling. That's, you know,
right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Get a couple of Gary Roach, like Gary Lake.
Legend. You're talking old legend. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the real legends. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Lender.
Yeah.
Try to get some of those guys on here for sure.
Okay. Cool. Well, thanks for having me. And I look forward to watching more of these down the road.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Jesse.
Okay. Take care, boys.
Take care.
Yep. Bye.
That was pretty cool.
That was awesome. I mean, it's like a celebrity on your podcast, which is super cool. So, Brent, thanks again for making the connection.
Yeah, no, I like you said, I've known him for many years, and I actually was fortunate enough last year I was at the Classic working, and me and the boys from Thorn Brothers went to the party, and that you can't believe. The house that these Canadians and Gussie knows who exactly they were. I don't know exactly who their buddies his or whoever, but the house that they rented in Knoxville was like unbelievable. Like you've never seen anything like it. Like to the point where it's like, if that classic is in Knoxville again, I need to rent it right away for, you know, me and the Thorn guys and whoever else. Cause it was crazy, but It was cool to see all those Canadians show up and a bunch of other industry guys show up to the party and just how well liked he is and how many people respect him and it's just awesome to see.
Yeah, I just an awesome guest to have on. You know, down to earth guy. Yeah, just I mean you could tell by just talking to him. You could talk to him for hours
for sure.
Oh, yeah. For sure about fishing. So. Yeah. That was awesome. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I suppose we could move on to our next segment. I mean, how do you even top that?
We should have started our next segment, which is, I think, in the cart, right? In your cart?
Yeah, in your cart. And we've done this every episode. It's just something that, you know, you either bought recently or plan on buying and something different. Who wants to start out, Brent?
Yeah, sure. So I've actually used these little deals for a few years. I'm guilty of using them and not staying on top of it and not always using them. But so there's this guy that makes these. They're called, where's my camera? The Bait Hitch. These little hitch keepers. I'm trying to get a hold of him a little bit more. He had a website and took it down, but we'll post something or on Bass Heads and all that as far as where to get these deals. But so here's kind of one version. Doesn't look like much. Looks like a little safety pin kind of deal, right? But when you there's a few different versions of it. This is one of them. But if you put that on a Kitech, for instance, you can see it goes in the head there and comes down and basically kind of clips into the bait, right? So I take these little prongs and put them in the side of these baits, and they keep these in there, right? So I can pull on that Kitech forever. I can pull on it all day unless the tail gets broke or something like that. That thing's not coming down. We've all used glue. We've all, you know, shredded our baits and stuff like that. But these little deals, they're unbelievable especially for a swim bait. I'll show you another one. It's a little jig one, but these things are unreal. I gave some to Tony last year as well, but they are, I mean, I can yank on, and we all know who a soft kite is, but
I can yank on that thing. Yeah. I had a bunch of them back in the day. That was from Hotspot Outdoors. You know, that guy was posting on there, and that's where I got them from. And I ran out of them and couldn't find them. And then me and Brent were fishing up on Mille Lacs. I think it was last opener, and he still had some left. And, you know, I'm throwing a spark shad, and it's one fish and done with that thing. And Brent gave me one again, and I put it on there. And I mean, it was 10, 15, 20 fish per spark shad, which is unheard of. Like, so these things do work. It's a pretty sweet little deal. And it's so simple too,
but so simple,
but yeah, I hope the guy does, you know, get his website up and going again. And
yeah, I just looked at my messages. So I'm sure he's okay with it. We'll post his email. on a post or something like that, maybe with some images and stuff like that. But and then this is the jig one, right? So if you can see it there, these little prongs, basically I can take my bait, loop it on here, and I'll take these prongs and stick them into my craw or whatever it is, and it's just going to last longer. They're super simple, and you know, they're cheap too. I mean, one of these costs a nickel and it'll save you $20 in bait, so they're pretty cool. I need to get in the better habit of using them more, but they're unbelievable for, especially like I said, especially the swim bait one I use all the time.
For sure. Sweet. Nick, you want to go? You got anything? And not ice fishing related.
Yeah, not ice fishing related, Nick.
I was not prepared. I had like 2 minutes to go grab something and I was going to grab an ice fishing bait. That's how out of fishing, open water fishing I've been, but, kind of teased it earlier with Gussie. I just grabbed one of the old Northland Marabous, but I am going to be putting some of those new Marabous in my cart. Excited about those. I think he had touched on it a little better than I could, but just a little, you know, more fine-tuned, more attention to detail, not as mass-produced, which is important when you get that perfect swimming action. So I'm excited to try those out. And then my next bait is going to be something I might have touched on this in another episode, but I had really good luck on this particular color fishing for smallmouth. It was not late into the season, but it's when, you know, you're getting into the fall times, temperatures are dropping, you know, call it maybe low 70s, high 60s water temps, start to throw that mag draft. But this is a particular size that's pretty difficult to find. Just, I mean, you can Google search and try and find them once in a while or put like your email in for a notification when they're back in stock. But this is the 5-inch. So it's just perfect. I mean, I do throw 6-inch for smallmouth and put a teaser hook on it. But, you know, this is, I have both tied up typically at the same time. And this is the one that I'll, majority of the time I'll throw.
I got the big 8-1 packed for Mexico.
Not a bad idea.
No. Which leads to my what's in my cart. Both of mine are something I'm pumped about for Mexico. Number one is the new Sixth Sense line through swim bait, the Hangover. Be interested to see how this works. There's some mixed reviews on it. I think a lot of guys are throwing it wrong. What I read is, and Milliken even touched on it, is it's not meant to be slow rolled. And that's kind of what you think on a lot of line through swim baits. It's just kind of that slow, steady roll. But I think you have to move that bait. He's got a video up of how to actually throw it. But he even addressed it. He's like, if you go slow, it's going to roll on itself and not that tail doesn't kick. So,
Tony, where'd you get that?
I got that at Waypoint. Okay. I stopped in to get that because I had one other thing that they were carrying that I wanted to get. And since Dude Hair, Jason Dudek's hair jig, just guy makes some awesome hair jigs, some hair colors. I'll pull that out. Especially for Mexico, that thing just has a little purple in it, little orange in it. Kind of looks like a tilapia to me.
Yeah.
And I don't think those guys, you know, especially the lakes down in Mexico, I guarantee a lot of guys aren't throwing hair jigs down there.
No.
No, but so, I hope you got more than one.
I have two in the mail. I reached out to him again because this was the only color I liked that they had at the store. Then I reached out to him asking for kind of like a parrot color. You know, that chartreuse and blue and stuff like that. And he had a couple that were very similar to that. And 3/4 ounce is what I wanted too. So he sent those off in the mail today. Cool. So that'd be a fun bite to get on. That's for sure.
Yeah. Report back.
Yeah. Yeah. I hopefully we'll do another podcast shortly after I get back. Like I said, I leave in less than 2 weeks and I'm down there for 5 full days of fishing, 6 nights. Should be a pretty good time.
Awesome.
Kind of wrapping this up here. One other thing I wanted to bring up is the Bassheads have a new partner. We've partnered up with Amp Outdoors Lithium, which super excited about. These are Amp or lithium batteries. I think everybody's heard of Amped around here. You know, when I first started thinking about lithium batteries, that is the brand that popped in my head. You know, initially they started with mostly with ice fishing stuff, but they've made it into the marine world and make some really good lithium batteries. And we've partnered up with them, and they're gonna offer Basshead members 15% off on any lithium batteries. So I'll be making that post probably before this even gets posted. Announce the partnership and the discount code for all the Bassheads out there. So super thankful for Amped for being willing to partner up. Matt, the owner of Amped, I think it would be a good idea to have this guy on the podcast too, because this guy knows the ins and outs of lithium. And I think that it's, you know, I feel like it's just everybody knows about lithium and hears about lithium and wants them in their boats, but like the ins and outs of why you want them in their, why you want them in your boat, why you want them running your electronics, you know, the from the capacity, what do you need in your boat? So I had a good probably half hour conversation with him on the phone, and it was really informative. It was a lot of stuff that I didn't know about. So I think it'd be a great idea to have him on the podcast. Just kind of go through some of that stuff.
Yeah. I've worked a lot of shows, events, with Matt. I run his batteries as well. He's an incredible wealth of knowledge. Like some of the stuff I don't know of another company that has taken, I mean, he's taken apart every battery there is, literally every battery that's possibly made, especially lithium, obviously. He's taken them all apart, and he's, you know, he's found stuff that's good. He found a lot of stuff that's bad and stuff like that. So he's a really good resource. So here's what makes this battery better than our, you know, than other batteries or whatever it might be. The guy's ate up with lithium, and it's cool to see. It's amazing just to listen to him and how much knowledge he has and all that. So it definitely a good person to have on.
Yeah, for sure. One last thing before we kind of call it quits, being that it's 2024, I just kind of wanted to say thank you to everybody that's like partnered up with the Bassheads in 2023. We had some awesome partnerships. Pro Fish Enterprises, Spragle Performance and Marine, Sanford, Auto Marine and Detail, Johnson on the Water Dealership, the Graphics Guys, Formula Propeller, you know, all these guys partnered with the Bassheads, offering discounts to all the Bassheads. So thank you to everybody that partnered up with the Bassheads. You know, hopefully we'll get some new partnerships as well. Check on the website for who we're partnered up with. Most of these guys give Bassheads discounts. And then of course, Omnia too, you know, they're our title sponsors for the Bassheads Derby. They're always doing deals for the Bassheads, 20%, you know, special deals. So they've always been a huge supporter of the Bassheads. So thank you again for a great 2023. And that's all I have for now. We had a few other topics, but we're kind of running over time, so we can go over those on the next one. But it was a good one, man. I sure enjoyed having Gussie on, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you guys, if for those of you listening, give us feedback and stuff like that. I think what we really want to do is a lot more themed podcasts, like Tony said, electronics. We want to do one with Springle Marine and do like a rigging or, you know, just kind of all electronics, a lithium one, or, you know, we'll get some of these retailers like, you know, Pete or Jacob or whoever from Omnia on and stuff like that. And just, I think we want to do a lot more themed podcasts and just get a little more traction as far as that goes. So, if you guys have ideas and who you want to see on the podcast or ideas for themes and stuff like that, if you want, you know, we can do a lot of different stuff. So we have a lot of different connections. So let us know.
Yeah, for sure. All right, boys.
Awesome.
Well, felt good to be back. That's for sure.
Yeah, we'll see you guys in 8 months.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we're on a almost one a year pace here.
Yeah, there we go.
24. So we're killing it. We're on pace. I'm going to watch Michigan beat Washington now. So
yeah, it's pretty ugly for future Vikings quarterback Michael Penix Jr.
All right, guys. Until next time.
All right.
See you.
Bye.